Hello, I'm Joshua Cade, and this is Longview 150 Stories, a partnership project between the City of Longview and the Longview Public Library, showcasing 150 distinct stories designed to reveal Longview's history during the sesquicentennial celebration. Sprinkled among the daily podcasts are personal stories, large-scale histories, and interesting tidbits about the life and fabric of this dynamic community. Today's episode is another snippet from Dr. Robert Cargill talking about some past histories here in Longview involving Boy Scouts, local boarding school, and how more industries were brought to Longview.
Boy Scout Troop 201 was Paula's grandsons went, son and...
The grandsons did not go. They were not at 201. They went to First Lutheran.
Okay, well, okay.
Scout troop that was there.
But Paula's son, Jerry, and I are both Eagle Scouts from Troop 201. And Red Whitworth was our scoutmaster. And V.G. Rollins was his. And those are legendary scoutmasters around here. Mm-hmm. And that was the biggest influence on my life. And I've tried, we often try and fail, but I've tried to live my life as I learned it in the Boy Scouts. And I find people whose word is no good, and once I do, they had one ex-wife down that way too. the things that happened, our dad got very much involved in Longview politics, state politics, but he also got involved in trying to develop Longview economically, except for school board. And, you know, in those days, the school board seemed to, and it seems to me it's probably still the same, school board scheduling football games, that was the big deal, you know. As far as I could tell, not a single person on the school board, maybe Mrs. Curtis Morris. She knew something about education, but the rest of them didn't. And things that Dad started doing, he was always preaching. I've heard it many times. What's good for Longview is good for me. And so he said, I'm going to do what I can to help develop the town. And there were two or three people, Carl Estes, who owned the Longview paper at the time. He was the driving force that brought Texas Eastman to Longview, and driving force for getting Letourneau here to take what had been Harmon General Hospital. That Harmon General Hospital was there for two or three years during World War II. In 1946, it was vacated, and the idea was to recruit Letourneau Industries to come from Peoria, Illinois, and Vicksburg to put a plant here. And that's when I came and created Letourneau
Industries.
Yeah, whatever. And I guess it was Mrs. Letourneau who said, we got all these buildings here, we ought to make a school out of it for veterans, where veterans would come and go to school half a day at Letourneau Technical Institute and learn technology, and then they would work half a day in the Letourneau plants. And that the Letourneaus had four sons. Third one was in my sixth grade class or something like that at South Ward School. And the youngest, Ben, was in my graduating class in high school. I didn't figure that out, but Ben's the only one still living. And that reminds me, Paula rode my bicycle, on the back of my bicycle, to South Ward School, and she's complained ever since that I went over all the bumps just to try to bump her off. Nah, it's your imagination, clouded by time. So Dad created what was known then as the Longview Industrial Districts. Dad had a vision. He was a visionary guy, and he could drive down a road and see what possibilities were there, and it looked like a big forest at the time. But he decided that it was time. He'd spent a bunch of his own money going and doing things. In 1956, he called together, as I recall, something like 130 people. I've got the number somewhere, but whatever. Through a meeting, and he says, okay, I want to create a corporation, and I want everybody here to write a check for $1,000 to the Longview Industrial District. And they all did. I mean, Dad could sell coal in Newcastle and snow in Alaska. And he said, I'm going to take this money, and I'm going to go around looking for land that I can buy around Longview. And then I'm going to go recruit industry to come here. And he was very successful at that until about the late 70s. There are a lot of places it came. I don't want to try to think of them at the time. But the other thing that he did, when Martin Hayes died in 1958, Paula and I inherited some land. And but we were gone, right? Dad did a lot of business in our names that we didn't know about. And so Hayes had owned this 80-acre tract that was kind of a pasture, and it was a good place because Highway 31 crosses Grace Creek, and Grace Creek ran right through it. And so the point is that we owned that land, right? And I came home. I didn't know it. I said I knew that we had owned the place, but I see all these Letourneau tractors and stuff out here building what became Bass Chevrolet, and it is now Coburn's or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so where I'm headed with all that is we were involved as unknowing silent partners. So we ended up having the what was then the Chevrolet place, it's evolved, and then the Lincoln place across the street. From the railroad to Highway 31, and then the spur was part of it, and now Cotton Street goes through there.